Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer.
Good News Media Productions presents What a Word from the Lord. Your host this evening will be Stevie R. Butler. This show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's Word, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Feel free to call us live at 713-955-0508. If you'd like to email us your questions or comments or concerns, you can email us at goodnewsmediaproductions@gmail.com. You can also call our business line at 336-525-5843. Now, this show is brought to you by loving, faithful members of Churches of Christ around the world. If you need help finding a local congregation, please email or call us, and we would be more than willing and happy to assist you. Again, take out your Bibles and follow along, because you're listening to What a Word from the Lord.
Productions presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is broadcast from Carolina Man Studio, the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, before you retire for the night, I just want to give you a word from the Lord. I just want to with me before going to our lesson for tonight, and let us thank God for this opportunity. Let us pray. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, our Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for blessing us to go through the various activities of the day. And you brought us to this point in our lives now that we can be on this broadcast on tonight and present a word from your holy and divine word that it is our prayer that will help somebody along life's journey to draw closer to thee. And if they don't have a relationship with you, Father, that they will see the need to do so before it's everlasting and eternally too late. I pray that you would bless the lesson that will be presented on tonight. And I pray that it will go forth and produce that which is good. Thank you so much for Jesus. For without his precious love and sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. For this is our prayer in Christ's most blessed name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, on tonight, I'd like to take a lesson text from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And if you have your copy of God's Word handy, read with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This will serve as our lesson text for tonight. And Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what a word from the Lord. On tonight, I just want to briefly talk to you on the subject, heaven, describing the indescribable. And I'm just going to give you part one of this lesson. And Lord say so, we will conclude with this lesson on next Wednesday night. Ladies and gentlemen, hope and heaven go together. Did you hear what I said? Hope and heaven go together. They are the precious, exclusive possession of the Christian. For the Christian, our hope is heaven. Paul longed for something more, something better than he had here on earth, even as a child of God. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed together between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." And then the Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul would tell us that we have hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Listen to what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10. Tells us the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Ladies and gentlemen, we will, as the scriptures and one of our favorite songs so eloquently and poetically tell us, fly away. And this is one of the songs I love singing at my own congregation. We're going to fly away, ladies and gentlemen, one of these days. Job asked a question in the long ago in Job chapter 14 and verse 4. If a man dies, will he live again? The writer of Hebrews answers by saying in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Those of us who are Christian should be able to face death with faith and confidence and excitement about our future. That's what it means to have a hope of heaven. That's why the Apostle Paul could cry out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54, he says, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." He would say in verse 55, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Christians should grow in confidence in the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. A special place has been prepared for a special people. And on tonight, I simply want to draw from for us some of the beauty of heaven and the indescribable inheritance that we have awaiting for us. First, I would like for us to note that heaven is a real place. There are those that believe that heaven is nothing more than a state of mind. Others say that heaven is whatever goodness you can grab hold of in this life. But ladies and gentlemen, heaven is a real place. Let me give you three simple reasons why heaven is a real place. Number one, the first reason is because Jesus came from heaven. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Number two, Jesus returned to heaven. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. And number three, Jesus is coming again from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. Every time the Bible mentions heaven, it speaks of it as a real place. We do not know where it is, except that the Bible always speaks of it as being up. Jesus came down from heaven. He ascended up to heaven. When he comes back for his church, his bride, we're going up to meet him in the clouds. Up there somewhere on the map of God is a spiritual place called heaven, the home of the Christian. Heaven is promised to the believers. When the Christian speaks of a hope of heaven, what he means is that heaven feels the longing of his heart because he expects to go there someday. Often when sharing the gospel with others, we will ask them if they are going to heaven when they die. How many times have we received the answer, "Oh, I certainly hope so"? They are not really sure. They just hope or wish that when they die, it will all somehow work out. That's not what the Apostle Paul meant when he thanked God for a hope laid up for us in heaven. Paul meant that we could look forward to heaven with confidence because it has been promised to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. In our lesson text in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, listen to what Peter says. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away." Watch this now. "Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter links together the words hope and heaven. And Peter tells us something more about God's promise of heaven. Peter calls it an inheritance. And Inheritance is defined as property received or to be received by inheritance, what is given to one as a possession. The eternal blessedness of the consummated kingdom of God, which is to be expected after the visible return of Jesus Christ. The share which an individual will have in that eternal blessedness. It's God's free gift to the believer who becomes his adopted child. Paul would write in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 15. Paul would say, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Ladies and gentlemen, heaven is promised and is God's own power that guarantees the promise will be fulfilled. Heaven is being prepared for the believer. Our Lord said in Matthew 25 and verse 34, the Bible says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And our Lord will go on to say in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, Jesus talking to his apostles now, and he tells them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Mansions in heaven. And Jesus Christ is preparing them for us. But what kind of place is God preparing? We really don't know. It is so wonderful that it cannot be described fully. We just cannot fully comprehend what it is that God is preparing for us. Heaven is the destination place of the faithful. It is not physical, but spiritual. Being in the very presence of God. God is a spiritual being that is impossible for human eyes to see. Heaven also is outside the boundaries and understanding of man's as man lives in the physical universe. But we are given a few tantalizing glimpses. When we get to heaven, it will be a wedding day. I want to close with this for our lesson on tonight. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, John the Revelator says, "Let us glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready." All the way through the New Testament, the church is called the Bride of Christ. And when we become Christians, we become a part of that marriage. So here in Revelation is a picture of the church on its wedding day, ready for the bridegroom to come and take her home. And this passage of scripture says that our life together in heaven will be like a perfect marriage. Everything in heaven is going to be perfect. Perfect bridegroom, a perfect bride, a perfect marriage. The wonders of heaven, unparalleled beauty. Heaven is the city promised to the captive whom Christ shall make free. It is the kingdom assured to them whom Christ shall crown, and the place that passes all the world's imagination. We are too busy looking at the worldly things to realize that eternity is the real treasure. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, Jesus would say, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." When we get an image of what God has prepared for us, then even death is nothing more than a gateway or doorway into heaven. From Genesis to Revelation, there are many glimpses of heaven. Its characteristics is consistently holy, beautiful, pure, lovely, and full of the love of God. In Deuteronomy 26 and verse 15, God calls it God's holy habitation from heaven. Why is that? Because that is where God is. Remember in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father, who art heaven." There are around 25 different illustrations or word pictures in the book of Revelation alone that describes what life in heaven will be like. Heaven's beauty is seen in some things which will not be there. Heaven is a place of unparalleled no mores. In Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 16, the Bible says, "They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Death, sorrow, crying, pain, night, hunger, and thirst, not to be found anywhere. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, tells us nothing unclean shall enter that beautiful city. Nothing unclean, and no one who practices abominations and lying shall ever come into that beautiful city. In Revelation 21 and verse 23, the Bible says the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. Why? For the glory of God illuminates it. The Lamb is its light. These times measuring elements shall be done away within the land of fadeless day. We will have no need to worry about clocks or calendars when we have eternity to dwell with him in timeless infinity. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven's beauty is seen in some things which will be there. Beautiful beyond description. Revelation uses beautiful, valuable things that we can understand to give us a glimpse of this beautiful place called heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Revelation 21 verse 18, the Bible says the construction of its walls was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. In verse 19, John says the foundations of the walls of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedon, the fourth emeralds. In verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was a one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, like the transparent glass. In Revelation 22, beginning in verse 1, John says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Unimaginable splendor and beauty. Gold so pure you can see through it as a glass. The tree of life we saw in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. These are all things we can understand as valuable and beautiful. Heaven will be a place where everything is new." Look at Revelation 21 and verse 5. John writes, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' The promise of God is that in heaven, I will have a new dwelling place, custom made just for me." Isn't that something? God always says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, that I am going to get a new body in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That promise is sounding better to me every day. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am so looking forward to getting my new body. As this body gets tired, it's getting old, it's getting weak. It seems to respond less and less to the things I wanted to do. The thoughts of a new body really appeals to me. Thing will be new. Heaven is a place of wonderful companions. Our loved ones, our friends, our families, our elders and deacons and teachers, and all our fellow Christians who led the way. Think about so many brethren that you see on social media who are laboring every day trying to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The redeemed from all the ages, the saints, the prophets, the patriarchs, the apostles, the martyrs. This great throne will be on the front row, so to speak, right in front of the throne of God. Higher orders of beings, angels, cherubims, those holy, shining, singing service of God. Worshiping the Lamb before his throne. But as great as all of this is, the beauty, the deathless, painless atmosphere, the song of the angels, the reunion with loved ones, nothing will compare with the joy of catching just one glimpse of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We will get to see our Savior. For years we have heard of him. For years we've been reading about him in our Bibles, and even singing about him in our worship services. And when we get to heaven, we'll get to meet him. We'll get to talk to him. Heaven is a place of unhypocritical worship. Be preparing today for our future activities in heaven. Things we are commanded to do today. and will be doing in heaven for eternity. We better get it to practicing right here and right now. And ladies and gentlemen, that is worship. That's worship. In heaven, there will be a continuation of our celebration, of our praise and worship of our great God. Uninhibited joy and praise around the throne. In Revelation chapter 19, we see the hallelujah, praise the Lord, worship of the multitude of the heavenly hosts. Revelation 19 and verse 6, the Bible says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. How is your worship today, ladies and gentlemen? Are you filled with praise, wonder, and awe? Are you preparing for heaven today? I'm just trying to give you a word from the Lord before you go to bed tonight. How is your singing? Is it filled with the Spirit? How is your worship today, ladies and gentlemen? Is it dead? Is it ritualistic? Or is it one of spirit and truth, preparing you for heaven? Heaven is a place of grateful and blessed service. In Revelation 22 and verse 3, the Bible says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. In heaven, there will be a continuation of service to our King who saves us from eternal hell. Heaven will not be a place of inactivity or boredom, but the absolute opposite. Heaven is a place where God's will is done perfectly. Remember the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11 and verse 2? Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is a place of rest from persecution and trouble. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, Paul said, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, John says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Heaven is a place of everlasting. In Psalms 89 and verse 29, the Bible says, his seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Then in Psalm 16 verse 11, the psalmist said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. As you can see, heaven is unparalleled. Paul would say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, says that the present suffering is not worthy to be compared with future glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18, Paul tells us that the eternal weight of glory is far beyond all comparison. This little girl was born blind, and the doctor said there was nothing they could do. So as the little girl grew, her mom planted a flower garden, and every year, as the flowers bloomed, the little girl's mom would describe the beautiful colors to the little girl. The little girl just loved the smell and feel of the flowers, and she said she would imagine their beauty. When she turned 14, their family doctor called and said there was a new surgery that may help her to see. They went to the hospital, and the little girl eventually had the surgery, but then she had to wait 6 weeks to remove the bandages, as this was experimental surgery. They asked the little girl where she would like to have the bandages removed, and the little girl told them to remove the bandages outside in her mom's flower garden. She wanted that to be the first thing she would see. The big day finally arrived, so they pulled off the bandages. The little girl opened her eyes, and she started crying. She said to her mom, "You never said it was this beautiful. And I hope that one day you will say to me, 'Brother Stevie, you never told us heaven was this beautiful.'" In Revelations 21 and verse 7 tells us, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That's what life after this life will be like. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, that is your promise. That's your hope. But not everyone is going to heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 8 of Revelation 21 says, of that same passage points out some who will not. You don't have to follow God. You don't have to be a part of the Lord's church. You don't have to be a bride that is waiting for the bridegroom to return. If you're listening this evening and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, then verse 8 is your verse in Revelation 21. Your only hope is a place where the fires keeps burning, the smell of sulfur, the second death, a place without God and without hope. So thank you, God. So thank God we have a Savior this evening. We have a Savior tonight. Thank God that Jesus Christ shed his blood to cleanse us from all our sins and all our unrighteousness. Because of that, when this life has passed, we can go to a place called heaven if we are found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You have this moment, this time in your life. You know, you have a decision you need to make. We hope that you will make it before it's everlasting and eternally too late. I would be remiss by ending this lesson if I did not give you God's plan of salvation. It would do us no good to preach God's word and then not tell you what you need to do in order to be saved. You must hear the gospel. And upon hearing the gospel, you must believe what you have heard. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. You must confess the greatest name on mortal tongue. Romans 10:9-10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. You must repent. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Paul says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. You must be willing to be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts 10 verse 48, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And once you become a Christian, you must be faithful unto death. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I am just so grateful for the privilege to be able to spend this time with you tonight. And I just thank God that we have an opportunity to hear his word every day, all day on this broadcast. And I want to thank you tonight for tuning in to this broadcast tonight. And it is my prayer that this lesson tonight will be beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord. And I pray God's continual blessings upon you. Good night, everybody. God bless.
You have longed for
What a Word from the Lord with Stevie R. Butler, episode number 1.